Hi, I'm David Schmidt, theologian, engineer, dad, and coach who has traveled over 5 decades through hardships and success, but remained steadfast and persevered through it all with God as my protector and guide. I created the Redeeming Business Today podcast to inspire, equip, and motivate others to take God at His word and to trust Him, to commit their plans to Him, and to delight in His ways. Business success is a combination of hard work and the blessing of God. It is not one or the other, it's both. If you are passionate about God and business and how those two align in a practical, tangible, and dynamic way, you're in the right place, my friend. Let's get started. Hello, today I'm excited to have with me Esther Youngkin. She has been RN for over 17 years, working in the ER, then went back to school to be a holistic health coach, health nurse. Been doing that for about 10 years, and now she helps people with their overall health and simplifying health into 5 buckets, in essence, which we're going to get into and talk about. But Esther, welcome. And before we start, what is one way you believe we can honor God in our business that other people may not know about?
Hey, well, thanks for having me. One of my favorite stories, like sentence stories in the Old Testament, is when God appoints the fabric workers and the metal workers to work on the tabernacle. They have this huge role and God is honoring them. And I have 4 boys. And sometimes, you know, as parents or society, we think that you have to go into these, you know, STEM careers or doctor, lawyer careers. And I just love that sentence story in the Bible because it points out that anything can honor God. I can have artists, I can have metal workers, I can have fabric workers, and everybody can use their talents and their gifts to honor and glorify God and point others to God. And He will work everything for good. That's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And it points to, that parable of the talents as well. Use what you have for God's glory.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. Because it's really true. I tell people it's not so much what you do, it's how you do it. Anything you can use to the glory of God. And
Absolutely. That's
neat. Yes. Very good. So in our pre-call, you're talking about you used to be in the ER and then you're in there for a long time. And then you moved into the holistic health area. Tell us that journey. What made you make that switch?
Well, it was a couple things. Like, I've always wanted to be a nurse ever since I was little. And my goal was to help people. And even as a freshman in college, before I started nursing courses, I looked at the person as body, mind, and spirit. I was already aware, probably because of my Christian upbringing, that you're not just a body, you know, and you're not just a spirit. That's Gnosticism. Like, we're not in that. You are a whole person. So I knew that from the beginning. And I guess because of that, the longer I spent in Western medicine in the emergency department, the more I just got frustrated with how we looked at just pieces of people. Like, I'm just going to look at your gut. You know, I'm not going to look, okay, you are having, you can't digest your food. We call it gastroparesis. Food is just sitting in your stomach. And I'm thinking of one particular patient. She would come in all the time with this. Well, why does her food not move through her stomach? Why is her digestive system not working? It's because she was being abused. It's because of the emotional things going on, the spiritual things going on. It was having a physical reaction. And being able to see the whole picture, but only act on a little bit, it just gets frustrating. And then also, we don't talk about root cause in Western medicine. And after seeing the same people, even not just the same problems come through
really?
The ER, but the same
you
people.
You saw the same people like, in the ER all the time?
Yes.
Really? Yep. Really?
Call them frequent flyers. You get to know them and people would say,
wow.
Oh, I guess
I didn't
that
know.
Person
I didn't
yet.
Know.
Don't say her name. She's going to come back. You just said her name. And, you know, superstition runs high. But yeah, okay. I got sick and tired of not helping people long-term. I just felt like we were putting band-aids on things and I wanted to do more. I wanted to help people truly heal.
Okay. So you went back to school, went to the holistic health nurse. And then, so what are you doing now in that space?
So in the ER, you know, we're completely busy. Waiting room is, you know, 2-3 hours. And I naively thought I'm going to graduate with my holistic health degree. I'm a holistic health educator, nurse, coach. I'm going to have a waiting list because clearly everybody needs better health. And I'm like, no, that is not what happened. I struggled for a while. And then I had a diagnosis of my own of an autoimmune disease. And I felt God tell me in that moment when I was so confused. He's like, Esther, if you are confused by this thyroid diagnosis, you've had 4 years of school, you've had 17 years in the ER, you've went back to school for holistic health, you've studied this and you're still confused. What do you think the average person is experiencing?
Wow. Sure.
And so I felt like it was one of those times when you really feel God saying, do this. And so that was kind of where my business pivoted. And I started focusing on Hashimoto's and I started a podcast and did a course. And that's been, it's been working better than like broad, I can help anybody. And then I wasn't helping anybody.
Yeah. Well, neat. And that's also neat how God, I believe God guides and directs as well. You know, it says, commit your works unto the Lord and your thoughts shall be established. He wants us to plan, but he wants us to commit our plans to him as well. So that's neat to see that. Okay, this question should be obvious to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How does health affect your productivity at work?
I'm talking to
like a business person. How would your health affect your productivity and the things you get done during the day?
It impacts in so many different ways. And you mentioned my five buckets, my five pillars. So when I'm talking about a person and their health, I look at that as body, mind, spirit, diet, and environment. And each of those things is going to play a role in your productivity. Let's just go, you know, diet and not even the food we eat. How about just the water that we drink? If you are even a tiny bit dehydrated, like not even thirsty yet, you're just a tiny bit dehydrated, your productivity goes down, you have an increase in brain fog, and you have a decrease in overall energy. That's mental energy and physical energy. So, you know, at work, if you're physically active and you're a little bit dehydrated, you're not going to be as productive. And you might not notice it. It's going to be, you know, just a little bit, like maybe 1-3% less. But it still impacts that. And if you have a thinking job, you're less mentally energetic, like able to think and do your job. And so people don't think about that. They're like, I'm just going to tough it out. But that's one example of how your health impacts your productivity.
Yeah, we go out and I split wood. I get wood from the field and stuff. And I usually drink a lot of water and all that. But I can tell after a hard day, I don't want to do much. I don't want to think much. I just want to go watch a movie or something.
Right.
And yeah, but it's probably that dehydration and refreshing in my body and stuff. So how do you know if you're, how do I know I'm dehydrated? You know, if I'm not thirsty, how do I know that?
I kind of just do a rule of thumb. Like you need 1 ounce for every pound of body weight. So is that right? No, I'm just trying to think. It's every 2 pounds. It's kilograms. Okay. So, you know, if you weigh 200 pounds, you need approximately 100 ounces of water. And that would be like just the baseline. And so every night before I go to bed, I try to fill up my water bottles. I have an at-home job. So I just use a mason jar. That's my fancy water bottle. If I'm going out, you know, I have the water bottles with the caps. But I find that... Right. If I pre-fill 2 liters, then I'm going to stay hydrated the next day. If I have to stop and fill my water, it might not happen. Now, you could also add a little bit of salt to your water because hydration follows minerals. And so if you're short on minerals, which a lot of people are, then you'll drink water, but it just passes right through. If you have a little bit of sodium in your water, then it can get into your cells better. And that's why you see a lot of electrolyte packets and things on the market now for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I use some of that too sometimes, got started. But yeah, very good. Any more examples of diet, like the types of food you eat? How does that affect your brain fog or thinking?
Mm-hmm. Processed food in general will make us more inflamed. So I'm saying, you know, anything in a package, the chances are that it's, you know, more highly processed is good. And the more processed it is, the more inflammation we have. The more inflammation we have, the less well everything works.
Okay.
And that just goes across the board. Again, you know, it affects your brain, it affects your emotions, it affects everything. And then it can also lead to physical pain. And when people are in pain, a lot of times they push through, but you're not as productive. You know, mm-hmm. you think of going to work with a headache or back pain. You can get the work done, but you're not as productive.
That's not fun.
No.
Sure. I remember reading a biography on Jonathan Edwards, and it said, you know, he was so good that he even figured out what foods made him tired or not tired. And so he would be careful what he ate. And I'm kind of like, how do you figure that out? I have no idea how you figure that out. And so, but I know also my wife makes fun of me because she doesn't believe me. There's years ago, I used to eat a lot of spaghetti and bread for lunch. And between 1 and 2 o'clock, I was down. I was tired, falling asleep and everything. And I don't know if I read some stuff about protein and fruits and all that stuff. I started bringing an apple to work. And so I'd have the same meal and I'd just eat one apple. Just leveled me out. And I did not have that down crash time between 1 and 2 anymore. I'm like, that was interesting. So I just started applying that different areas in my life too.
Yeah. I'm curious. Did you have your apple before or after the spaghetti?
After.
Okay.
I ate after.
If you eat it before, you'll notice an even bigger effect.
Okay.
When we have foods that are higher in fiber or fat at the beginning of our meal, it slows down how quickly our blood sugar rises when we eat the carbs. And we want that. We want a slow rise in our blood sugar because what goes up must come down. And so mm-hmm. if it goes up really quickly, it's going to come down really quickly. And that's when you get hangry. That's when you get shaky. That's when your brain is like, you know, no, we're not doing this. It's when you get really tired. So yeah, I mean, just as a simple switch the apple to the beginning of your meal, or if you're having salad or, you know, any vegetables, put those at the beginning of your meal and it impacts your blood sugar. And then that impacts your productivity and the rest of your day.
Hmm. That's probably why I remember a guy kept coming to me. He's like, man, I just have brain fog today. And he's drinking a pop and eating these candy bars. I'm like, I don't know. That might have part of the reason why you have this brain fog.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. And really, if you start your day with a high sugar meal, which most Americans do, it increases how much you eat throughout the day because you're starting on that glycemic roller coaster. Mm. So you're starting with a really big up and then you're going to crash. You're going to get hangry. You're looking for quick energy. So one of the best things you can do for your diet, if you don't want that brain fog, is have a higher protein, lower sugar breakfast.
Very good. Good idea.
My kids are not happy about that, let me tell you. I don't know about everybody who's listening, but
sure. Yeah. Yep. I remember growing up on cold cereal. That's what we grew up on.
And you sprinkle honey or sugar on your cold cereal?
Only if it wasn't sugared, like Rice Krispies. Then we'd put sugar on it, or Cheerios would put sugar on it.
Yes. Same.
I look back at that stuff and I shudder, but yeah.
Yep. Our moms didn't know.
And I'm in a completely different place today. So, but that's fine. Spiritually, you talked about spiritually. I know there's lots of things spiritually in the Bible that we can talk about, but spirituality is part of your whole being and body. So what part does that play in your business and your productivity and your life and energy?
So
maybe that's too many questions.
It's okay. So I look at your body and how it's working. I go down to the very basic building block, which is the cell. And your cells, people have looked at this under electron microscopes, your cells work better when you are in a state of love. And we think of God. God is love. And he created us in his image. So when we are living in love, every single cell is going to work a little better. I have not seen this video, but one of my friends has seen it. And he said, like, the cells are almost like more curled up on themselves and resistant to nutrients going in when they are under stress or fear. And
really?
Yeah, so you know, you think about what the opposite of love is, and I mean, what would you
angry? I'll say angry or hateful or something.
That's what I maybe thought stressed. Too. It's fear.
The opposite of love is fear.
Yeah. So they say, like, you know, whoever I was learning that from, he said, love and hate, they're kind of on a continuum, but the very opposite of love is fear. And so when you're in a state of fear or high stress, then that's when your cells are more curled in on themselves, unable to work. And so from a spiritual aspect, being productive at work, that's where I see if we're right with God, or if we are living in love instead of fear, we will be more productive. Our body is going to work better. Our mind is going to work better. Everything is going to be better. And, you know, my podcast is not a Christian podcast. I am a Christian, you know, who has the podcast.
Yes.
And so when I'm talking about that, I don't say you have to give your life to Jesus right now.
Yeah. You know,
but I do talk about being in a state of love and peace versus stress and fear. And that's something that everybody can relate to. And then, you know, introducing them to the source of all love and peace, that's another step.
Yes. That's interesting. So basically you're saying our cells, even if you're like eating right and exercising and that, if you're angry at somebody, or more likely you're afraid of a bad situation coming, you're still not going to be healthy. And maybe that's
not as
you can
healthy.
Get rid of the fear.
Yep.
Yeah, get rid of the fear, and then you can get. I wonder if, that kind of makes sense, because if people are afraid, they kind of freeze up. They don't do nothing. They don't do anything.
Yeah. And it gets kind of tricky when you're talking about this, because then somebody is going to want to turn it into like a prosperity gospel. Like, if I am right with God, then I'm going to be perfectly healthy. And that's not what I'm saying. Just things work better when you have love.
Sure.
It doesn't take away the consequence of sin and, you know, problems in the world.
No, but you know, there's a lot too. And I think it's interesting, as we medically have all these tests and things, start finding out when Jesus said, hey, love your enemies, love those who hate you, pray for those who despitefully use you, persecute you, telling us how to have all these positive emotions. It's not just so we get along with people. It's for our health too. And it's for our benefit. And it's just interesting, the more I get into that and see that, it's like, if he says it, I'll just do it. Just go for it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, very good. So you mentioned a Sabbath day's rest before in our conversation. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So when I was in the ER, probably like 12-ish years ago, I already had 3 little boys. I was pregnant with another, and I was working full time. My husband was going back to school, and I was homeschooling. It was a lot.
Okay. Wow.
And I kind of was arguing with God, like, I'm really tired, but I don't have time. Why am I, like, you know, woe is me? So I was just convicted that I needed to take a Sabbath. And I worked, I think at that time I was working every weekend while my husband was in school. So obviously my Sabbath is not going to be on Sunday. But I just started instituting a day of rest. And I found that I was more productive the entire rest of the week on, like, if you put all 7 days together, if I had one day off, I got more done in those 7 days. If I didn't take a day off, then I would get less done in the 7 days, even though I was working all of them. And so with little tiny kids, I could do that as homeschooling, even though I was working the weekend. One funny thing that I found was, all of a sudden, when I told myself I was going to take a Sabbath, I really wanted to, like, clean the house and clean the toilets and do all of these things. And I'm like, why? It's because I had told my brain, when I have time, I'm going to do that. Yes, the toilet needs to be cleaned, but it was always, okay, when I have time. And so all of a sudden, when I'm taking a Sabbath and it's on a Monday, I have time. My brain is like, let's clean the toilet. No.
It's like, no, that's the whole point, where you don't do those things. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So I really found that I was more productive when you take a day off. And, you know, that's what God tells us all the way from the beginning. Once again, like you said, listen to what he says.
Yep. And I've heard of people who have had to work 7 days a week, and they say the same thing. And I've never had to do that. And I usually take the day off. It's like, I'm done. God says day off. I work 6 days to take the day off. But it's interesting when you say that, that you've done both and have actually seen the productivity level. God said, take a day off, take a day off. You know, I'm not going to fight you over the day. Because when I was a pastor, I didn't take Sunday off. I worked Sunday, so I took another day off. But, very good.
Yeah. Yeah. In college, I kind of struggled with it because growing up, my dad was a pastor, and he wasn't a pastor yet. But anyway, he took the Sabbath very seriously. But for him, since he worked a sedentary job, for him, resting was getting out in the yard and working because that was so restful for him. And I was like, nope. Because he would ask us to do it. Like, no, it's my day off. I'm not going to go chop wood with you. It might be restful for you, but not me. And then when I got to college, I had to figure out how to enact the Sabbath for myself because I wanted to. And I noticed that God said, you know, even during the planting and harvesting season, take a day off, keep the Sabbath. And I was like, okay, so even during finals, I'm going to take a day off.
During finals, you got to take that time off.
Yeah.
Absolutely. God honors those who honor them. So you've worked with a lot of people. What common mistakes do you see people making in regards to the health then? I mean, you have these five buckets.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is they outsource it. And so instead of saying, what can I do and how can I help? They go to their doctor or they go to YouTube and say, what do you think I should do? And their doctor is going to listen to the symptoms and say, here's a medication. And that's just our broken healthcare system. Instead of the doctor saying, oh, you have high blood pressure, let's work on your stress, let's work on your weight, let's get your diet back under control, let's work on your blood sugar, all these things that are going to impact hypertension, they're going to say, here's a pill, live your life. And so if somebody is going to take ownership, if they're going to take agency of their own health, then they can look, and they can look online, or they could talk to their doctor, say, what things can I do? And then they could find all of those things because, my goodness, we have the whole world at our fingertips. So there's probably too much information out there. But yeah, the biggest problem I see is that people just want to outsource their health because somebody else will have an easy answer, easy like a medication. And so then I can have Burger King my life. I want it my way. Which
Burger King my life.
Yeah.
That's funny. And that's why I see some people, they want the easy way out. And, you know, when building on the rock is harder than building on the sand. And usually God's way is usually a little bit harder, but long-term it's better than easy up front. So that's kind of where you're going to invest now or later.
Yeah. Yeah. When those storms come, you need a strong foundation.
Sure. So, yeah. So you've said a lot of things. What, if you had to summarize, what one thing you'd like to encourage my audience to do is relate to their health? Maybe it's,
I think just pick one thing. Like we've said a lot of things and I can't know exactly what each listener will take out. But our temptation is, oh, there were a lot of things mentioned in that podcast episode. I'm going to do like five things. So my biggest encouragement is just to pick one and implement that. And then, you know, put a reminder in your calendar and re-listen to the podcast in a week or two and pick another thing. But that is like, we can't go big and go home because then we tend to not do anything. So my biggest advice is just pick one thing. And whether that for you is to stay hydrated or take a day off, whatever it is, just pick one thing.
That's excellent advice. And that's, yes, every habit starter, think big, go small kind of thing. How we can contact you and all that stuff, we're going to put all that stuff in the show notes. So I encourage you guys to take a look at the show notes after today. We're going to talk about what, basically all the details of the show notes, things we had here. I know I'm talking a lot, but that's fine. Check the show notes, the links, sites, et cetera, will be there. And sign up for my newsletter. That's a great way to keep in communication. And friends, that's all for now. And trust you've been inspired to redeem your business, redeem your time, buy it back, and walk worthy of God's great name. Bye for now.
Ever wish you had all your business information in one place? With StepUp Referrals, you can. It's the ultimate digital referral card that makes sharing your business and showcasing who you're connected with easier than ever. For just $29.99 a month, StepUp Referrals helps you stand out from the crowd, build relationships, and grow your network. Don't let opportunities slip through the cracks. Visit StepUpReferrals.com and get started today. StepUp Referrals, your business referrals simplified.